Malachi's proclamation of the one who is coming, he asks, who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? It will be like a refiner's fire, a transformation so complete that worthless dross will be separated from purest gold, a transformation that cannot be catalyzed without a fire so hot that it changes the material forever. This image is also adopted by John the Baptist when he warns that while he baptizes with water, the one who is coming will not just cleanse us, he will change us, and that change will come by fire. What could this possibly mean? Year after year, we recall on this day strange prophets who don't talk about mangers or angels or shepherds, but of a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Are we simply tipping our hat to some distant tradition, or is there an unsettling truth? Why must we be changed? We hate change. And why can't God just be open and affirming and love us, dross and all? Why must there be a crucible with our name on it? This is something I know at least a little something about. My dad was a mechanical engineer. He had a small die-cast shop that produced high-pressure zinc and aluminum castings. I worked there every high school summer and other school vacations, not because I had to. My dad actually didn't like having to hire us. But because my sisters and I could not find other summer jobs, he was basically stuck with us. The die-cast industry in those days was elemental, to say the least. These were massive 8-ton die-cast machines. They were the size of a room, and they sat next to metal pots that looked just like witches' cauldrons. The operators would scoop up the metal in ladles, and they'd pour it into a small die, maybe about this size. They'd only make 4 or 6 pieces every came together. If everything went well, the heat and the tremendous pressure of the machine would turn the formless metal stew into a usable part for your car or for your toaster. In winter, the foundry was not heated. It didn't need to be. The refiner's fire is never comfortable. You couldn't get very close. The heat was too intense. But step away from it, and the Lake Erie cold was hard to bear. Those were the fires of our life. They were an environmental nightmare, but they were our life. They put food on our table and clothing in our closets, and they paid for our car, and they sent us to school. When the first gas shortage hit the Cleveland area, anybody old enough to remember the gas shortages of the 70s? We were out sinking auxiliary tanks at my dad's shop. Because when the fires went out, 80 or so people were thrown out of work. So you learned to live with the fires. And as the prophet reminds us, the fire is instant judgment. You do not talk it down. You do not plea bargain with it. If a die-cast operator loses focus and lets impurities get into the metal, worst case is that molten metal would splatter everywhere and people would be injured. In every case, it would show up in the castings, which then had to be thrown onto the scrap heap. What is the refiner's fire? Well, in my world, it was necessary for life. It was never comfortable. Its judgments are sure. There is metal that will withstand the heat and pressure until it is molded into usability, and there is dross that gets pitched. This certainly fits with our apocalyptic views of the end times, sort of like a horrific end-of-grade test where our life is put on a spit over hot coals to see if there's anything of value to be found. But is this what we see in Jesus? How are we to understand his ministry and what we know about him in this prophecy of fiery transformations? Our new General President and Minister of the United Church of Christ, John Dorhauer, provides an insight in this book, and I recommend it to you. It's called Beyond Resistance. John will be our guest the first weekend in February, and I recommend that you read this book. It's just a great read about the future of the church. In it, he tells the story of David West. David West was about 18 years old when his family started worshiping at Dorhauer's church in Lebanon, Missouri. David fell in love with the church and especially with the youth programs. He went to every event. He also faced the challenge of some mental retardation. So he wasn't always understood or embraced in his school or in his neighborhood. Here he had found a community where the youth just adored him, and he became an integral part of everything they did. And when fall rolled around, David heard about confirmation class, and he made a personal commitment to be part of the class. His faith meant a great deal to him. He never missed a class, and everything he learned came as pure joy. Towards the end of the year, they started to talk about Confirmation Sunday, and in that congregation they had a tradition where each confirmand would write an essay that covered their core beliefs and why they were claiming this faith as their own. Now, David was precious to his family. His father, Bill, was devoted to him. So when David and his father learned about Confirmation Day, his father, Bill, was on the phone. He wanted to talk with the pastor, and right now. Bill was very proud of David and all that he could accomplish, but he knew that David wanted to do everything his peers did. He also knew there was no way he was going to prepare and read a confirmation essay. He knew David would want to stand up with everybody else on that Sunday, and he wasn't willing to allow his son to be embarrassed or belittled. So when Confirmation Day arrived, Bill stepped up to the pulpit with David, and Dad was first to speak. "David, who is God?" Well, David was nervous, but he knew exactly what he was doing and what it meant, and he was sure of his faith, and he was proud of it, and he said, "God made me." "And who is Jesus?" "God's son." "And what do you know about them?" "They love me." Dorhauer reflected, "I've never in my life preached a better sermon than that one." Now, who do you think the refiner's fire was purifying on that day? Not David. Not Bill. They'd been through this plenty of times. The metal had been tested in them. No, on that day, it was the congregation's metal that was being tested. A precious and beloved gift had been placed in their midst. Would they be found worthy? Their response would be telling. And Dorhauer remembers that there wasn't a dry eye in the house. He points us in the same way to Jesus. It is the beloved of God who reveals the measure of the community that receives him. The fire that he brings illuminates the character of those who surround him. I have a great sense of connection with John Dorhauer's story. Every year that I have taught confirmation class, I have had more than one David. Young people navigating all kinds of differences, traumas, and losses. Sometimes I simply have to set their books down to try to comprehend how much they've had to face in their short lives. If their parents or any of us could have sheltered them from some very hard knocks, we would do it. Yet, like David, these kids get it first. They embrace this community and they embrace this faith with joy. These kids have been through fire. We don't doubt what they are made of. We are the ones being refined by the fire of their presence. Will we be found to be worthy? Every Sunday school teacher, every youth volunteer, every music leader, every church friend is like a boatman ferrying this precious cargo. The measure of who we are is illuminated by their light. Or as Dorhauer remembers, our congregation witnessed the most beautiful, the most sacred, the most genuine expression of faith they would ever hope to hear. We were deeply aware of how transformative genuine love is, and that that congregation was privileged to be part of something so good and so right and so lovely. We learned that such love was something we had the capacity to share. So as it turns out, love is the refiner's fire. It lifts the veil and reveals the beloved who has been entrusted to us. At the same time, it unmasks everyone in its presence. In the case of First Congregational Church in Lebanon, Missouri, it allowed tears to flow and a community to be changed. You know, the unmasking isn't always bad. We dread it. I know that. We fear and we really believe that what will be shown in the unmasking is all that is unlovely about us. But that isn't what happened. The beloved one bore witness and the masks fell away so that tears could flow and follow the fires of transformation. This is the blaze of the refiner's fire, none other than love itself. Love come down to earth and in a manger laid, not to coerce, not to shame us, not to destroy, but to draw us to its intensity and its brightness, that we might be melted down and transformed into something beautiful for God. We need to feel the fires that purify the sons of Levi. Those are the fires that will also melt the ice glistening at the edges of our hearts. Let those fires burn. Amen.